Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about a breakdown of listening. Sergey had told me he wanted our coaching to be a one-man seminar on communication skills. My conversation with Sergey about his need to stay on topic and connect with his listeners was the subject of the executive coaching tip called In-Sync Communications. When he realized he really hadn't noticed me gesturing for him to get on with it, he was concerned. The next topic he wanted to address was listening.
"You should be able to teach me everything I need to know," he said, approaching the topic like the scientist he was. "You must be the master of listening."
I laughed and said, "I am not the master of listening, Sergey. I don't know anyone who is. Frankly, listening is a bitch."
"Well, if it's a bitch for you, for me it'll be impossible."
"No, not impossible. It's a skill you can develop forever. There's no finish line. You can always get better. I've gotten better. I've treated listening like a muscle, and I've worked it hard. I'm a better listener now than when I started coaching."
"Good. So you can teach me," he said as a conclusion.
"Okay." I began to mentally sort and label different types of listening skills. Before I had created even my first label, Sergey asked,
"What's this active listening people always talk about? Is that a thing?"
"Oh, yes, indeed. Active listening is a thing. That's a great place to start, because active listening is the foundation for every other type of listening."
"Good. We start at the very beginning. A very good place to start."
Only Sergey could quote The Sound of Music in the middle of a discussion about listening. I said, "The goal of active listening is to constantly confirm your understanding of what's being said. If I'm practicing active listening, I'll say things like, 'So what you're saying is,' or 'If I'm understanding you correctly, then...'" He eyed me suspiciously and said,
"That sounds tedious."
"I used to worry about that too," I replied, "but it actually makes conversations lively. There's a lot more back and forth. While you're talking, rather than relaxing on my side of the conversational bridge, I have to get at least halfway out on the bridge and really extend myself to be sure I understand what you're saying. It actually keeps me engaged."
"Yes, I have done that sometimes, when I'm interested."
"Interest is a choice," I said.
"Well, not for me."
"Let me give you an example. Suppose you and I are old friends," I said. "One night we meet for dinner, and you tell me about some important event in your life, and because you're my friend, I'm interested. And then suddenly, while you're talking, this little movie in my head flips on, replaying something that happened at work this afternoon. As it plays, I have a flood of feelings, and ideas about what I should have said flash in my head. Now, I really was interested in what you were telling me, but that movie came on without my consent, and it hijacked me. It completely blocked you out. I wasn't listening to you anymore, and I didn't even know it." He nodded gravely.
"For me, it's not movies. For me, it's framed pictures, or big block letters. They show up all the time."
"Like now?" I asked, genuinely curious.
"Not this instant, no, but since we've been talking today, yes."
"Me too," I said. "But when my listening drifted, I didn't get hijacked. I noticed, and I came back. I chose to stay interested."
"Oh, that's what you mean when you say interest is a choice."
"Yes, to be a good listener, no matter what kind of listening you're doing, you have to be intentional about what you attend to. You have to learn to make distractions wait their turn."
"People talk like that about meditation," he said. "Are they the same?"
"Well, active listening and meditation both accept that distractions are inevitable, yes, and both emphasize the practice of dismissing distractions, but their focuses are different. Meditation focuses inward, active listening focuses out."
"Okay. What other kinds of listening are there besides active?"
I said, "Well, I think there are two. They're both branches off the main road of active listening. I'll call one critical listening, the other empathic listening.
I think I am always critical.
Then he said with a laugh,
And I know I am not empathic. Everyone tells me so.
No, wait, Sergei. Critical listening and empathic listening are just labels for types of listening. Neither one is about being critical or being empathic.
I see, okay. So, explain critical listening.
When I'm practicing critical listening, I imagine I'm standing in a fast-moving river. As you're talking, a ton of stuff is flowing past me. Water and
fish, leaves, stones, branches. What, you mean my words?
Your words, yes, but everything. Your facts, your ideas, your data, suggestions, protests. Maybe you're telling me what happened in a meeting. Maybe you're explaining a concept. It's all flowing past me. And I have to decide, what am I going to pick up and retain, and what am I going to let flow by?
Does that stone have meaning?
What about that drop of water? What about that leaf? He nodded in understanding.
You only pick up what you think you need. And to know what you need, you have to think critically. That's why you call it critical listening, yes?
That's right. And it's not silent. When you're practicing critical listening, you ask clarifying questions, because critical listening drives towards meaning.
Okay, understood. Explain empathic.
Well, I don't see empathic listening as a river. To me, empathic listening is a warm channel of information that connects from the center of your body to the center of mine. When I'm listening empathically, that channel is wide open, and I'm receiving whatever is coming from your side.
Like what? He asked, as if this sounded a little bit creepy.
Whatever is important to you, I said. Feelings, thoughts, beliefs, values, your concerns, conclusions. When you practice empathic listening, you ask open-ended questions, especially about feelings. How was that for you? What was that like?
Those are questions my wife wants me to ask, but I don't.
Because...
Is that an empathic listening question?
I laughed, because indeed it was. Sergei was a great student. I said, when you share what you're thinking and feeling with me, we make a connection. And that's the goal for empathic listening. Connection.
I don't think I connect when I hear people's feelings. I think I listen critically.
Well, that makes sense, Sergei. Look what you do for a living. I'm not surprised you prefer critical listening to empathic listening. You've probably been like that all your life.
Oh, I have. When I was 4, my nickname was Professor.
So you've always preferred the critical listening side, and I've always preferred the empathic listening side. He nodded.
Well, look what you do for a living. You listen to people all day. Me? I'd go crazy doing that.
Then he asked,
But don't you think critically about what people tell you?
Well, sure, yes, I have to make meaning out of what they say, but not in a critical way. In empathic listening, the struggle is to stay neutral about what you hear. Don't judge. You see, if you share your ideas with me and I judge them, our connection starts to weaken.
And empathic listening drives for connection, he said, as if finishing my thought. And critical listening drives for meaning. Okay. Is that it? One category, active listening, two subsets. Is listening so simple?
I wish, I said. I'll give you two more. One's a variation of critical listening.
The other is a variation of empathic listening, right?
Sergei was always at least one step ahead of me, and I told him yes, he was right. I said, the variation of critical listening is called results-oriented listening. We do it when we're negotiating or getting directions or understanding a process. We do it when we want to get things done.
I am always asking, what's the point? Is that the results-oriented listening?
If you're really listening, yes. But if the only reason you're asking is so you can have your turn to talk, then no, it's not any kind of listening. He clutched his chest as if I'd shot him.
You got me.
I laughed.
How does it sound, this results-oriented listening?
Lots of clarifying questions, I said. Questions like, how many, or how much, or how long, or what's next, or even, can she really do that?
Fact-finding. That's interesting to think that's listening. Then he asked, what's the variation on empathic listening?
Let me jump in here for a second. Before I tell you, the listener, the variation on empathic listening, I want to tell you about a new resource that's very different from anything I've done before. The world of podcasting is enormous. I'm sure you know that. Well, about 5 months ago, an Australian entrepreneur who lives in Bali reached out to me. His name is Chris Dufay. Chris is a personal trainer who runs a business helping other personal trainers build their businesses. He was launching a podcast called Turning Pro Academy, and he asked if I'd be a guest, and I, of course, said sure. Well, the conversation was frankly pretty fascinating, partly because Chris is pretty fascinating. He leads with lots of superlatives and language that seems a little over the top, but he quickly proved himself to be curious and humble and crazy smart. When you listen to the podcast, pay attention to how fast he moves from one idea to another. This guy's the real deal, and he's a hoot, too. He's really funny. Chris and I talked about leadership and leading people and feedback. It was a great conversation. I encourage you, give it a listen. The podcast is called Turning Pro Academy, and my conversation is episode 19. Okay, that's it. Back to Sergey. So he and I had just talked about results-oriented listening being fact-finding, and then Sergey said to me, what's the variation on empathic listening? I took a breath. I call this expansive listening. We do this with each other when we want to explore a particular avenue of thinking. So the interpersonal connection is still important, but now the goal is exploration.
So what does it sound like, this expansive listening?
You might ask questions like, what would that look like? How would that change your thinking? What would it be like if we... that sort of thing.
It sounds like brainstorming.
Yeah, that could be expansive listening, I agreed.
He frowned a bit as if expecting a bad diagnosis. So, how do I build my listening muscle? Are there exercises?
Sure. A great starter exercise is parroting.
With my children, he asked?
No, not parenting. Parroting, like the bird, which is a perfect name because the goal is to be able to repeat back what you hear, like a parrot. Parroting was the first exercise I did when I was trying to build my listening muscles. I imagined I had a 30-second rolling window that I was responsible for. At any moment in time, I wanted to be able to repeat back, word for word, the last 30 seconds of what had been said. Your words, my words, anything that had been said. And then I would add a new 30-second and drop the old ones. And then add a new 30 seconds and drop those, and so on and so on. I just had to capture 30 seconds at a time.
I'm trying it right now. I can't pay attention to what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what happens at first. It really is like a parrot. You might capture the words, but not the meaning. So don't do it when the stakes are high. It's just an exercise. It's meant to build your listening muscles. But it really forces you to pay attention, doesn't it?
Interest is a choice, he said with an I-told-you-so smirk.
Sergey wanted to see a breakdown, a model, of the five types of listening, their goals, and the behaviors that went with them. Together, we created one. If you'd like to see the chart about listening that Sergey and I came up with, I would love to send it to you. I'll tell you how to make that happen in just a minute. But first, let me tell you the end of Sergey's story. At our very next coaching session, Sergey griped about practicing parroting. He hated doing it. He said it made his brain hurt. But now and then, just to test him, I'd stop and say, what did I just say? And often he could repeat our conversation back fairly accurately. Over time, as the coaching went on, his listening muscles strengthened, and he moved, slowly but surely, towards the look and sound of leadership. The goal of this episode has been to give you a small window into the rich complexities of listening. I hope longtime listeners know I am not prone to making grandiose statements, but I'm about to make one now. I truly believe if you become a better listener, it will change your life. I often feel I could write every single executive coaching tip about listening and that there would still be more to teach and more to learn. Having said that, it's odd that over the past 10 years that I've been writing these tips, I've only written two others that have been specifically about listening. So why only two? Well, because, honestly, I'm often daunted by the task of trying to talk about listening in a meaningful way in these short podcasts. Nevertheless, if you want to become a better communicator, you have to focus some of your efforts on improving your listening skills. The other two episodes about listening each have ideas in them that are different from what I've talked about here. They're Listen Without an Agenda and Leadership and Listening. Two other episodes that directly relate to listening are Facilitating Open Dialogue and Questions as Leadership. Longtime listeners may have noticed that during this podcast, I referenced two other episodes, Sorting and Labeling, which is still one of the most powerful communication tools I know. I encourage you, give that a listen, and In-Sync Communications. All those episodes, all 10 years worth of The Look and Sound of Leadership, are available through iTunes and Stitchers, but they're also always available to you for free in a searchable archive on the Essential Communications website, EssentialCom.com. That's EssentialCom with two M's .com. When you're there, click Coaching Tips to get into the archive. Now, if you'd like to see the chart that Sergey and I created about listening, when you're on the Essential Communications website, use the Contact Us button. It's on the bottom of every page. Just ask for the listening chart. I would love to send it to you. Right beneath the Contact Us button is a button marked Subscribe. If you'd like to have the tips as an HTML email as well as the podcast, use that button. It would be great to have you on the distribution list. To all of you who post reviews, who send me emails, who become my clients, I am so grateful to be in touch with all of you. Reading your reviews and hearing from you and working with you makes my day. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.